Okay, this is part four, the final part of the movie War Games that is put out by the military and the United States government, and it stars everybody that's actually in the military or the United States government, and they're trying to paint people that believe in the Constitution and the oaths that they swore to the Constitution as radicals. But yet, on the same hand, on September 27th, 2024, the Department of Defense has authorized lethal force, including death and serious bodily injury to American citizens by the American military, which is a direct conflict of the 143-year-old Posse Comitatus law that completely and utterly does not allow this. So with that being said, I will digress.
Drafted an insurrection proclamation, but they haven't made the decision to implement it yet. Standing by if we need it.
They need to clarify that that's an insurrection act that they're about to.
Well, they're standing by, but what do you think is the? I'll be curious to know what the. What is the delineation?
Okay. What are they doing with their National Guards? What help do they need from us?
Okay. The biggest challenge is to have the insurrection act as an option invoked towards the end of this game, because it can be used to catastrophic effect.
I remain concerned. We have not decided who is in charge of what's going on in Arizona.
This confusion is really good. They're, like, not sure who's in charge.
The governor might be under a hostage situation or she's evacuating.
She asked clearly for federal support. The implication was there is nobody in charge right now. I mean, everything that we're getting through these channels is it's clear that they want us to federalize. So I guess I'm not sure what are the downsides to using this tool other than there's obviously some huge PR concerns.
Well, Mr. President, if I could, right now, we're not putting active military into these states to do things. What we've done is they're using their own National Guard, so they have law enforcement authority. All we're doing is providing them the support, communications, logistics, etc., that they're asking for.
But Arizona and North Carolina are saying they need more. I guess I'm trying to understand the disconnect. Certainly, if you don't have an active hostage situation, then I can understand why it makes sense for us to use National Guard. But we have an explicit request for the Insurrection Act to be invoked. And I think we need to be able to explain why we wouldn't in this particular circumstance, given historically, in lesser circumstances, the Insurrection Act has been used.
President Bush did invoke it for the Rodney King riots. That was a far cry less than this.
Yeah. The question is, what is it that they're facing that is beyond the capacities of their normal law enforcement? If there's any state that might be a candidate for an insurrection act, it may be Arizona, because people in that state have taken over the seat of government and are holding elected officials hostage with threats to kill them. In North Carolina, we don't have any evidence of anything except they're worried. What's a bunch of active duty Army guys are going to do there? This is really a hostage situation. It's the people that are best able to deal with that are local law enforcement. It's the people that are best able to deal with that are local law enforcement.
I mean, we did it at Waco in 1993. My division gave up one VTR to sort of puncture this thing, and it's all over the internet. 25 years later that the 1st Cavalry Division killed all these people because of a fire. If you can keep the military out of it, it's much better.
No,
Mr. President, they're asking you to take more responsibility is what this issue is. In my view, you shouldn't do that. You should force the governor to do the duty.
Do her job.
Absolutely. There's no reason for you to become personally the officer in charge.
The only reason you don't do insurrection is the president becomes responsible.
Right.
That's what presidents normally, good presidents normally do. They take responsibility. Okay. And the way you do that, is that you go out to the governors and you say, I am strongly considering invocation of the Insurrection Act. If any governor doesn't wish me to do that, please let me know, because that's now under positive consideration.
Right.
Taking responsibility for a president is not a bad thing.
Can I play devil's advocate for a second? You know, when we think Insurrection Act, we think about deploying paratroopers. That's a bunch of hammers looking for nails. What if you have a President Trump who's considering invoking the Insurrection Act? who has the authority to do it, to use federal troops to enforce law. But in this case, right, it's flipped the other way.
We're advising this guy. This ain't Trump.
I know, but I'm just...
That's three states requesting federalization of the Guard.
One, two, three, four, five states.
I mean, think about this scenario. The President of the United States has five governors requesting federalization. That's a pretty strong push towards the Insurrection Act.
We have multiple governors now publicly saying they're asking for federal support. We need to be able to explain to the American public why we're not using the Insurrection Act.
Michigan, Arizona, North Carolina, Florida, and Pennsylvania have requested the federalization of the troops, but the two who have not are Oklahoma, as we suspected, and Colorado.
The question is, what's driving that? I mean, because there's got to be a reason, and say just because is not a good reason to bring them on Title X.
You're taking them out of their law enforcement.
They requested.
This is what I'm saying. So the essence of being a federal government and not a national government is these governors are asking you to do this. I'm going to governors saying, what do you need from your federal government? And they are telling me what they need.
Except for two of them.
I don't know how to go back to the governor as the commander-in-chief of the National Guard. And this is going to be a defining moment of your presidency.
So it is.
Here's what's missing in this. We have to understand why they want to give command and control to the president. The Insurrection Act is a trap.
We need to have a further conversation.
It's a defining moment in their governorship.
We have what?
Mr. President, your audience is the American public, and they want to know that Congress is coming back to certify. So we do have to come to agreement here, because time is moving on. You have to decide which way you're going to want to move.
Mr. President, 10 minutes remaining.
The president is sweaty. He's going to have to make a decision.
Mr. President, are you invoking the Insurrection Act or federalizing National Guard? Neither has happened yet.
Statement.
I'm not asking you, I'm asking the president. Are you doing either of them?
Mr. President.
Put your fucking cards on the table.
Mr. President. No.
Thanks, sir. That's exactly what they should be doing.
Okay, good. There's 9,000 officers in the Metropolitan Police. We can't make the mistake of not having the Guard deployed, but having people wear military uniforms
is going to make
absolutely
a lot of people think that we are
We need to have the civilian authority and law enforcement really in the lead on this to the greatest extent possible, because they want to bait us into using lethal force in response.
Yeah.
Mr. President, current situation, we believe we have a handle on containing the protesters. Capital is secured. The critical infrastructure on the eastern seaboard, including all the ingress and egress points into the national capital region, is secured.
Sir, last comment from my perspective. We're standing by. We've increased the alert posture. Right now, we're available, and the forces have an increased readiness posture, obviously, to ensure that we have continuity of government and continuity of operation.
Thanks, General. Let's get this thing certified.
Say that members of Congress are returning to
the chambers.
Certification process to resume within the hour.
There you go.
Welcome back, everyone, to our breaking news coverage. INN has just learned that the National Guard and local law enforcement have officially secured the U.S. Capitol, and Congress is reconvening to certify the electoral votes for President-elect John Hotham.
Mr. Speaker, the Vice President and the United States Senate.
In Phoenix, Arizona, the local law enforcement and the Arizona National Guard, operating under the governor's direction, are praising Hotham's decision not to send in federal troops and escalate the situation, saying they are making progress in the negotiations to release the hostages. The crisis has further exposed the deep divisions in American society and the U.S. military, and the burden will now fall on Hotham to heal a fractured nation. We're getting word that the president is about to address the nation live regarding today's events.
Mr. President, are you ready for the briefing?
Mr. President, I can tell you you're doing the exact right thing by trying to keep the military out of this politics.
Mr. President,
this
are you comfortable with the same four people being behind you?
Sure.
Okay, let's go.
Mr. President, at the end of the day, I think you have to think about how do we convince the American public that we still have a democracy?
Yeah.
And Mr. President, talk about the Constitution has served us well. Not just people condemn violence, but people support a Constitution that has served us well for 250 years. And it's a living, breathing document, and it's still strong today as it was yesterday.
That's a great way to end it.
Closing argument.
Good lawyer, right?
Now they're walking. They're walking.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being here throughout what has been a difficult and challenging day for all of us.
The peaceful transfer of power is at the core of who we are as a nation. And we will not allow a violent group of protesters to interrupt Congress from fulfilling their constitutional duty. Even beyond what's happening in the District of Columbia, we continue to make sure that our federal government is running. Our message to Lieutenant General King, to Robert Strickland, to Roger Sims and members of the Order of Columbus, and anyone intent on using violence. To address election grievances, we have a system of courts
where these questions can and should be addressed. Armed mobs, they will face the force of law. We will protect the peaceful transition of power, and we will protect and uphold the rule of law. As you have seen, in Arizona, there's a hostage situation. And as the President of the United States, but also as a father, I pray for those family members and those hostages.
Look, at times, we may seem divided. Elections do that. Thanksgiving dinners do that. But we are actually united in what the promise of this nation is. And the promise of this nation is built on those essential building blocks.
We're all treated equally. We have opportunities. And we have stability in representative democracy. That's
the American promise and what this country is based upon. What we are doing is working with the states to ascertain what specifically they need from the federal government. And we'll work to provide them. This is a 250-plus year experiment called representative democracy. And it's challenged at times.
Today,
it's actually a republic, and they're just showing you that this guy is just simply an actor. Simply an actor. That's all these political people are. They're actors. They're not real. They don't believe in God. Not God Almighty that created heavens and earth. Because God wouldn't accept this right here. Just say it. Someone's got to say it.
It wasn't the first time it was challenged. January 6, 2021 wasn't the first time it was challenged. The Civil War wasn't even necessarily the first time that it's challenged. And the Patriots aren't somebody posting on social media talking about an insurrection. The Patriots are the good people of this country that choose to have trust in the system. So to the American people, thank you.
Thank you for what has been indeed a challenging day. And this challenge is not over by any measure.
Remember what brings us together, not what divides us. And may God bless you, your family, and these United States of America.
That was fucking awesome. Did we do
it? I don't know about that.
Trust me. And I don't often use words like awesome.
Mr. President, that was very beautiful, and I wish it was real. Not the scenario.
Not the day.
Not the day. Not the day, not the scenario. Just the leadership.
Everyone, thank you very much. What we're going to do, we're going to sit down. We're going to close the end of this exercise. Nice and quiet, everybody. Nice and quiet in the Situation Room, please.
Okay, everybody. Big cheese. Ready? On three. One, two, three. One more. One, two, three.
Thank you very much.
The big question in the room is this. Insider threats, it's a reality. In this scenario, it was, what, 6-7% of the force. That's probably representative across the country. So that means you have insider threats. What are we doing to screen those out?
The military is one of the last institutions in our society that has been and should be apolitical, in the sense that it is supposed to be a space where everybody, you know, regardless of their political backgrounds in private, will come together to achieve a mission towards a common cause.
Okay, so define irony. This gay lady just said things should be apolitical and things that are done in private, yet the first thing she talks about is who she has sex with and how gay she is. And this is actually our military.
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough.
So this person right here has an absolute mental disorder. It's a man pretending to be a woman, also pretending to be a major, I believe. Yeah. Or colonel, I'm sorry. A man dressed up as a woman just can't contain himself, and we all have to share in his delusion. Guess what? Other countries around the world, they're not dressing up as what they aren't. They're dressing up as what they are. That's all I'm going to say.
Everybody, you know, regardless of their political backgrounds in private, will come together to achieve a mission towards a common cause. That, to me, is what our society could and should be.
So the only pushback on that I'd give you is, yeah, you might have a few rogue military officers. The vast majority of military officers are exactly where we were.
I think, you know, the effective training of the armed forces is just a really powerful preventive to the insider stuff. I would worry about specialists, like people who have control of sensitive information or nuclear weapons or something like this, who could, you know, be seditious. But for the average guy, we can handle that.
I would slightly disagree. I would say it is a problem. So what is going to be the process for us to be able to screen, monitor, and deal with it?
The veteran brand has been damaged in the United States. A lot of people now, when they think of veterans, they think of violent insurrectionists.
Because that's exactly what the government and the news has called them. And that was just simply straight, completely out of the blue. And I find it laughable they put Ruby Ridge, Waco in there. They're hurting children, so let's quickly burn and kill all of them. Because that's what they did. Ruby Ridge, they shot first. Period. You know what I mean? And everything about that. I mean, look up the real story. Look up the real story. I'm pissed.
Well, there's a growing group of veterans working with nonprofits and political action committees. And we are here for the people who want to be prepared to defend democracy from all possible threats. We have a choice. We can either be afraid and do nothing, or we can continue our service to our country.
I find it funny, someone that didn't even get an honorable discharge is discussing the veteran as being a brand. It's ridiculous. We're not influencer, whatever.
I'm struggling to contain myself right now because I'm frustrated with the belief that we're addressing the problem of insider threats. What folks of higher rank are insulated from is when a neo-Nazi joins the Marine Corps, doesn't have to be Special Forces, doesn't have to be a Ranger. But if that ideology is to accelerate the destruction of the United States, they're determined. And if one slips through, which many have, there's ample opportunity for them to do serious damage. And this is so pervasive through the force right now.
It's true. I'm worried, but I have a lot of confidence in the leadership we have. Guys
like Jeff. We've always been able to unite the country when the threat is external.
The question that I have is, can we have that same level of cohesive American commitment to this country and our democracy when the threat is internal?
On January 6th, I was weeping, just watching it unfold and feeling all of the stress and pressure. Yeah, I just started crying. I mean, I was like crying for my friends who were in the building and for our country and what it meant. So, yeah, I want to do everything possible to make sure that doesn't happen again.